Father, we just ask for your presence of your Spirit here amongst us this morning, that we may have clarity of thought and of word, that we may take your word and to show us the path that you have directed for our life. Lord, we again thank you and praise and glorify you. Amen. Adversity. Everywhere. Turn on the TV, radio, it's all we hear is adversity. It's more common than we hear of peace in the world, in our communities. Think of the world. War, ISIS, financial collapse in these communities. I mean, in countries. United States, we've got abortion, gay marriages, police having problems, racism, broken families, and government. A dictionary definition of adversary is condition of suffering and hardships involving anguish, trials, heartaches, and disappointments. What are some of the reactions we have to this adversity in our personal lives? One is a fear. Fear is paralyzing. Whenever we're afraid to move, a prime example of that was Peter when he was walking on the water with the Lord. He was doing just fine till he started looking at the circumstances around him. What happened? He sunk. Anger. That's a good one for me. If anything happens a little out of the normal, or, you know, stuff comes up, that's my first reaction, is mad. I don't do much good, is generally how I react. Isn't very good. I don't make a lot of friends. Another one is that anxiety. It creates tension and stress in your life, but all those around you. Apprehension. We procrastinate. We don't go about, do the things, get after it. Impatient. In these situations, if things aren't going right, I'm immediately get mad. After I get worked through that, then I'm impatient. And then I plunge into it without much planning or thought. Cause irritation amongst everyone. This is the one that works pretty good in adversity. Complain about it. What that does is brings everybody back into my pit. And we can all wallow in that. But all that does is enhance the problem when we draw them people in, when we complain. What are some of the reactions? Just to walk away from the situation? Blame God? And live with bitterness? That's a little bit like poison in our lives. It just keeps festering, going on and on. Why is all this happening? We understand that a lot of this is the consequences of sin, disobedience, and just leaving God out of things, along with the thought of doing it my own way. Because that's really pushed in the world. Because you go to any bookstore or any of those places and look at them areas, they've got all kinds of books on self-help. Do they work? Probably momentarily. Tried a few. Worked for a week or two and then kind of drift into the old patterns. The Old Testament tells us again and again how God deals with sin and the people straying away from obedience to Him. Time and time, how many different stories as you read, see the Old Testament's rise and fall of kingdoms. Why? Drifting away from God. But this morning, I want to focus more on adversity on a personal level rather than the world outside us. Do you sometimes question, why is this occurring in my life? Why? What have I done? Why can't life be a little easier and more peaceful and simpler? There are times stuff happens to me and I wonder why. I thought I'd been somewhat obedient and not creating too many sins, but why is this happening to me? It seems like other people are getting along just fine. They don't seem to have those issues in their life. They don't appear to have the problems that I have. They look like they get along pretty good financially. Looks like their families are perfect. So then I question, why me, Lord? What have I done? Then it is time for me to get, or for us to get back to God's Word. And I'm going to steal Pastor Mike's acronym or whatever you call that about the stop, drop, and roll. Stop negative thinking and questioning God. Drop to my knees in prayer and roll into His Word. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Why do I have to be tested? Isn't it enough just saying that I believe in God? I go to church. I spend some time in devotion by when I have time, when it works out on my schedule. It seems to me like it's not happening to anybody but me. James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. When's the last time you were joyful in the midst of this situation? Yes, I'm being tested here. I don't think of it that way. Oh, isn't this a good time? No. What's he saying? I should continue reading that. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full impact, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This was a real, what would you call it, revelation for me, to know that all these situations that I've been through and are in, it's God working on me, or working on us. When these stuff's going on, God is working on you to bring us into His likeness, to draw us closer to Him. In Romans 5, 1 through 4, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. There we can find our peace is in God. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now that one's a little easier to relate to, rejoicing in God when the good times. And when we look around and just see His work around us, we've seen answered prayer, We've seen His creation at work, His mercies, His blessings. In the good times, it's real easy to rejoice in the Lord. And then it goes on to say, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in our sufferings. That's hard to do. But to know that it's God working in our lives, just knowing that suffering produces endurance. And this suffering that we're through will give us endurance to stay strong in Christ, to help us stay in the battle. And endurance produces character. Well, I guess what's a good definition of character? Just a good person doing good things. Your word is strong. Your life is an example of it. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. To rejoice in suffering is to know that He loves us. It's good to know that at those times He's disciplining us. He loves us so much that He's going to discipline the Father like His children, and to make us draw closer to Him. It is also a time when He needs to get our attention about what we need to be doing. Drawing near to God instead of standing on our own and getting angry or anxious or anything like that. He's working on us to draw us back into a relationship with Him. Those times is to help evaluate what is our schedule. Does that mean less me time and more God time? It's time to humble ourselves, which He does a lot. Because when I look back, how often I've ever said, I got it going. I got it down. I'm doing good. Time and time again, before long, there I was. Got a good crack in the back of the legs, and down on my knees I went again. He humbled me, thinking when I think I had it going on, I was getting it done myself. There went my knees again. Just another way for me to see that I don't do a very good job of it on my own. In 1 Peter 3 through 7, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, and how great that is, that He would send His Son to die on the cross for us, so that we could be forgiven. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And here is an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Okay. His gift is forever. It's a promise that we're not used to here on this earth. That is forever. It's pure and it's clear. Because a lot of the promises that we've always run into in our life been broken, and they're a little cloudy because they're human involved in there. Who by God's power, and this is being guarded through our faith, for His salvation to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Here again, He is providing these for us to go through these to hone us, which is shown here. The test, various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire. The gold is the most precious thing in the world, but it can be destroyed by fire, but not your faith and trust in Him. The sufferings of God's people are so that faith may be purified and show it to be genuine. Such faith has a great reward, and that's heaven, everlasting life. A comfort in this is not only that we get to go to heaven, but through these trials in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overdrawn you that is not common to man. Sometimes we feel some of this stuff is happening to us or being tempted is unusual. No, it's not. It has happened to more than just ourselves. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. We're in the midst of those things, but we will never be tried beyond what He thinks we can handle. But also, with His temptation, He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And that way of escape is only through Him and with His help. And in a Christian life, temptations will continue. Even though we think we draw closer to God, think everything's going to be just hunky-dory, smooth. Now with God, and He saved my life, and now everything's going to be great. But it says temptations will continue, because the closer you draw to God, the more you become a target of the devil. If I'm out there I'm already in His kingdom if I'm not following God, so He's not going to, don't have to work on me. And as the trials will also continue, as God will continue to draw us into a closer relationship and equip us as to do His work. It just takes time, so that's why we will continue to be tried. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Here's the reward for enduring this trials and temptations in our life, is our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life, and heaven. What a glorious thing. And it says, then we should thank God for the good things in life. We should even give thanks for trials. That's about like rejoicing in the midst of a trial, is saying, thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Rejoice always in all things and at all times. Lord, help us there to be in the midst of the situations we're sometimes in, to rejoice, to know He's working on to build us and make us better. But also to pray without ceasing. In a devotion I had read here with Charles Stanley here the other morning, we talk about pray and reading, How much time do we take to listen? So often it's you know, sit down in the morning, read your devotion, pray a little bit. Oh yeah, I got to get this done. Poof, off I'm gone. How important it is to take time to listen to God. Where is He working? What was that lesson in that what I went through? What were you trying to teach me? That's a tough one, to give thanks at that time. But it is a commandment of the Lord to know He loves you so much. He's disciplining you. He's working on you and trying to build you up and make you better. Ephesians 5:20 also says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we wonder how to pray in these situations. Don't know what to pray for or how to pray. We're in the midst of those deals. Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not want to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with our groanings too deep for words. So we have the Spirit in us that when we can just don't know what to say, what to do, or what situation it was in, just time with the Lord, the Spirit will intercede and relate with God. And He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And that's a God who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us. It says saints, but we all are considered saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good of His kingdom. Lord, help us there. Why should we be grateful? For one thing, we should be grateful because He loves us so unconditional. As a sinful, prideful, selfish people, He still loves us. And that is why He keeps working on us. Two, keeps us aware that we are not alone. At times you feel like you're stranded. This is only happening to me. I'm isolated out there. And it also is to help us remind that He is always with us, as we read. Also helps keep God's perspective in our mind and not our own. Helps deepen our faith and trust in Him in all things. And finally, time to focus on God and not on the circumstances. Because if we can look beyond the circumstances, look to God, and look beyond that, will help us to work it through. Time to rejoice. We as Christians, we should be a happy bunch all the time. In the good times, because we know it's a blessing of God. And in the bad times, or the tough times that we're in, we should also know that He's working on us. Why? Because we are His children, and He's working on drawing us to Him so that we can join Him in heaven. God, the Bible never says it'll be easy. Because if it was, we wouldn't have very many people here. Because we'd all be doing it on our own. If it was all easy, we wouldn't have a need for him. And now, to close here, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is, no matter what, where, or when, or how, he is there. And then Revelation 10:3-10, he saves us from the final trial. Through this works and all that, we can be assured that we will not be involved in the final trial. Lord, should we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your word. Lord, just help us to rejoice in you always, to know that all things are of thee and for the furtherance of your kingdom and for the development of us, to help us grow in you and to grow closer to you and to be strengthened by you. Lord, just help this word to remain in our hearts, not only this morning, but through every day of the week. And again, just praise and glorify you for your love, for your discipline, and for your mercies and everlasting life that you have given to each one of us if we just accept it and seek you in all that we say and do. Lord, just guide us through this week. Keep us from harm and danger, and be with all of our families and watch over them also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.